Welcome to the Sin2O Adult Webmaster Podcast, the show that explores how to make money in porn online. Join our hosts, Jason and GC, as they ask the dumb questions so you don't have to.
Welcome everyone to the Sin2O Adult Webmaster Podcast. I am Jason. Over there is GC, as always.
Back full of L-tryptophan.
So we're coming at you the week after Thanksgiving and a couple weeks after Webmaster Access in Los Angeles, which was a pretty great show.
You guys had a good time?
We had a good time. This was Daphne's first show, and we actually encountered quite a few people that... Oh, yeah. This is Daphne's second show. Sorry about that.
Daphne's... Oh, yeah. She did the San Francisco show.
That's right. That was her very first show. So it was a lot of fun. We met some good people, met a lot of people we'll probably be doing some business with in the future, and got the word out there. When we got back into town, there's quite a few new listeners who had listened to the podcast.
Very cool. Thanks for logging in, ladies and gents, ladies and germs.
Everyone who is a new subscriber to the podcast feed, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
This week we have Michael Branvold from GameLink on our interview later on in the show, who's talking to us about affiliate challenges and how to overcome them. So in the news this week, AVN Awards has announced 40 nominees in three new web categories. What's newsworthy about this is they are also featuring Adult Site of the Year, Web Starlet of the Year, and Best New Web Starlet as new categories that they are going to be awarding this year. A little bit more emphasis on the online side of the business.
How long until it's all online?
So the AVN Awards happens every year at AEE and Internext show, which we are going to be giving away passes this month. If you want to get free passes to Internext, send us an email at podcast@sin20.com and tell us what you like or dislike about the show, and we'll automatically enter you into that contest.
Totally random drawing. We won't look and make fun of people and then say, no, not that prickhole.
Well, we'll actually respect you more if you give us constructive feedback on what you'd like to see changed on the podcast than if you're gushing. But we like the gushers, too.
Who doesn't like a gusher?
That's right. Okay, getting back on track here. Adult iPhone app gets Apple nod, then is taken down. Wallpaper Universe didn't make it very long on iPhone as an application in the iPhone App Store. Apple unapproved Wallpaper Universe almost immediately for obscenity reasons. The software allows users to post photos of nude women as wallpaper on their iPhones. You know, the iPhone applications themselves, another form of a widget, you know, just kind of a very loose application that can be put out there for free or for very little cost. It's definitely an avenue that people are looking at as a new means of advertising. So yeah. If Apple is not allowing any kind of obscenity or any kind of risque application into their App Store, which is the only way to put an application onto your iPhone unless you hack it.
People are going to lose interest.
Well, I don't know that people are going to lose interest, but I think everyone is losing opportunity, including Apple, if they are being that picky about it. They should rethink that strategy.
I think they will. I think there'll be a backlash. Sex sells, people. Come on. Hasn't changed. Never change.
So here's a story about YouTube. You know, YouTube has never really allowed obscenity in any form on their servers, but, you know, smart marketers have kind of gotten around it by posting non-obscene shots of, or, you know, intros or, you know, censored versions of video, and
suggestive.
Use those as marketing bait to get people to type in the address and go to that pay site and sign up. And it's, you know, a pretty good strategy. It's thinking outside the box a little bit. But YouTube is now going to be cracking down on even obscenity that's not really obscene. So the article I have here is talking about specifically sexually explicit videos, but they don't define...
Like dick in a box?
Maybe. They don't define what sexually explicit means. And they are going to have a stricter standard for mature content, which is also not defined what that means. So we shall see whether YouTube ceases to be a playground for titillation and marketing of porn.
So they'll just be the either the YouTube or the YouPorn. No middle ground.
Well, you know, YouTube gets so much traffic. I think it's the number three, number four site on the entire
universe,
interweb, as far as
a
the amount of traffic.
A series of pipes and tunnels.
That's right.
Interconnected.
But, you know, if we were to lose this as a means to siphon off some of that traffic to adult sites, I think that would be kind of a shame. You know, people are looking for porn are going to find porn, so I'm not sure how much real difference that's going to make. I haven't really done too much YouTube marketing of adult stuff. I've done a little bit. Well, no one really knows what this means yet. It's just they are making a big stink about it and saying they're going to do something about all of the sexually explicit videos that are on there. So we shall see what that means.
Where do we go from there?
Brit government sets a day for a porn ban.
Brittany?
No, oh. The Brits.
Oh, the Brits.
Across the pond.
The ones with the funny teeth?
That's right.
Funny accent.
New UK law criminalizing possession of extreme porn takes effect the 26th of January of next year. The law says anyone caught with sexually explicit material depicting violence, sex with corpses, yeehaw, or animals can face up to 3 years in prison. I think this is another one of those laws that's a little bit vague and no one knows how to interpret or how to enforce. It was passed after a man blamed kidnapping, raping, and murdering a woman on addiction to violent online porn. Well, of course.
Yeah, well, he's got to blame some. It can't be just his fucked up head.
Yeah, or his fucked up parents from not teaching him correct morals in the first place. Now I'm slurring. I haven't even had any alcohol
depicting
and I'm slurring.
Violence. What does that mean, depicting violence? Like S&M?
Yeah. Yeah, or
so no spanking,
or simulated rape, or any of those things. The law is vague and could affect people engaging in consensual fetish play as well.
I mean, sex with corpse and corpses,
corpse eye.
And animals, yes, I could definitely. That's you know, obviously.
So, really great written piece of legislation here. Almost seems like our legislators should have written this law because it's just so vague and unenforceable.
And therefore, that law sucks.
Way to be anticlimactic. So last up on the docket.
Rusty, dude. It's been like how long?
Our what the fuck.
What the fuck.
For this week, Japan's online product sensation, boy bras.
Is it like a man's ear?
It's like, exactly. That's exactly it. Rakuten.com, the largest online Japanese
Can I see it?
Retailer, offers a men's bra line that has the ability to blend beneath men's clothing. After a few weeks, it's become one of the best-selling items on that website. So this isn't like for, you know, people who like to cross-dress or trannies.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Like
this is a cross-dressing.
These
like
are like
thing.
Normal guys that want support. So why men are becoming interested in bras in Japan, or wearing bras, I should say, is kind of beyond me. You know, some customer feedback that was quoted in this article. Wow, we've been waiting for this for a long time. So,
but it says more than 300 men's bras have been sold.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like the whole country, you know.
But this online retailer, which is a popular online retailer, Rakuten.com, this is like one of their hottest sellers for the season.
300 units is a hot seller?
Well, we don't know in what context.
Dude, the guy selling strawberries at the bottom of my street sells more than 300 units a day.
Are you sure? Maybe he should take up selling men's bras.
I think he could use a men's bra, actually. Hell, at this point, I could use one. What are you talking about? Bada bing.
You know, I've seen a lot of guys who probably should be wearing a bra, but for
Could you imagine? You like
for the normal male.
My
figure.
Bra straps are showing on the hoops court. Oh shit! I need one of those. You know, what do you call that, Daphne? It's like an X. What's that called? Like the sports bra. You know, it's like, what the hell? Come on.
Well, I don't even know what the point is. I mean,
I don't know what the point is either.
What is the function here?
But 300 sales is not. That's not a lot. There's a bunch of weirdos.
Well, that's
a
why.
A bunch of freaks is what you're telling me.
That's why it's in our what the fuck segment for this week.
How is it different than a woman's bra anyway?
Well, it's probably more shallow.
If Daphne would speak fucking Japanese, she could find it for us. Daphne, you're failing us miserably. What the fuck?
As always, for more information on these and other stories, visit our website at www.sin20.com. And if you want to send us some feedback, please do. podcast@sin20.com.
Ain't ya holla back, girl. And?
This month, you send us feedback, you get entered to win tickets.
Dude, this month is off the hizzy.
So if you want to know more about Internext, check out the website, too. That's definitely the biggest show of the year for the adult industry, online and off.
Make sure you take a jacket. It's fucking cold in January.
So stay tuned for our interview with Michael Brandvold up next. And make sure you join us every week for the Sin20 Adult Webmaster Podcast.
Send an email. Get in the contest. You could use a couple free passes. Come on. Come on now.
You know you want to.
Do you enjoy listening to this podcast? If so, you can make it more popular by reviewing it at podcasterwhoswho.com, the who's who of podcasting.
This interview was sponsored in part by Sin20, the sex information network and social news website with exclusive access to the sex industry, providing tools and information for successful adult webmasters. We have what you need, and it's where you want to get it. Come inside, sin20.com.
Today we're here with Michael Brandvold from GameLink. We're going to be talking about affiliate challenges and how to overcome them. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself and how it relates to the topic today?
Sure. Well, I'm a director of affiliate sales and traffic acquisition at GameLink.com. I oversee all of the affiliate efforts within the company, as well as traffic acquisition, which could be advertising and traffic buys. My background, I've been here for 2 years, been in the adult industry for 2 years, but prior to that, 10 plus years doing very similar work in the music industry. I managed websites, fan clubs, online stores, affiliate programs, ticketing programs, you name it, for artists like Kiss and Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue and Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson and Rod Stewart and Fleetwood Mac, and the list goes on and on and on. So wasn't quite adult, but let's just say the music industry, how do we say politically correct, the cleanest industry itself. So, you know, I've encountered a lot of challenges on the music side that translate very well over into the adult side.
So the topic that we're going to be talking about today, affiliate challenges and how to overcome them, I would like to start off at the very beginning and talk about noobs. What do most noobs not understand about affiliate marketing?
I think the number one problem that they encounter or don't understand coming into this business is that you actually have to do some work if you're going to make money.
Wait. You mean the money just doesn't come rolling in?
Not anymore. The gold rush days of adult and the internet are long gone. You know, unless you're lucky to be sitting on an amazing domain name, you know, you want to make money, you got to work to earn that money. I can't tell you how many times I get affiliates, the new ones that call me, email me, that sign up and basically say, I've got this great domain, I just registered it, you know, it's .com. You know, it's not even a .com, a .net, it's .dot God knows what, you know, and it's parked at GoDaddy, and they're like, okay, What do I got to do? My friend told me I can make $10,000 a month in the adult space. And my first question is, where's the traffic? What are you going to do? And their response is, well, don't you do that for me? So, you know, that's the biggest hurdle, is these new affiliates think it's a gold rush still, that there's just a lot of money to be made. And don't get me wrong, there is good money to be made, but you've got to work at it. You've got to have a business plan. You got to know what you're doing. This isn't something that you're just going to do in your dorm room to get free porn passwords and make $10,000 at the same time. Those days are long gone.
Well, let's talk about the business plan at a very high level. What would a very generic affiliate business plan look like? What would it include? What are those things that you need to sit down and figure out before you even get started?
I think the most basic thing they have to figure out is where they are going to get the traffic. There's definitely traffic to be had out there, but how are you going to get it? Do you plan on buying it? Do you plan on doing natural search organic rankings? Do you plan on, you know, what is your plan? You cannot just build it and expect them to come. And starting from that basic position, you then sit here and go, okay, if I'm going to have to buy my traffic, how much is your budget? Where are you going to go? What, you know, what are your sources to get it? What are you expecting in a conversion of that traffic? You know, it's not just about getting a million hits to your website in a month. You know, that might look good on Alexa, but, you know, Alexa doesn't put money in your pocket and doesn't help you buy the groceries at the end of the month. You know, it's, does that traffic convert into somebody who buys a VOD stream, does a membership join, whatever your affiliate model might be? It's about converting that traffic. And, you know, what are you willing to invest to get converting traffic?
When people talk traffic, I think the most obvious answer to the traffic question is, well, search engine traffic. I know that there are other forms of traffic out there, but do they convert as well as search engine traffic? And, you know, is search really the only game in town when you're talking about traffic that actually converts?
It's not the only game in town. It's definitely one of the best games in town, but it's a very competitive market. You know, keyword bidding is very aggressive out there. You know, there are people who that, you know, I have affiliates who that is their whole business model is going out there and doing keyword bidding, and they're following trends and they're staying on top of it. I mean, these guys are experts at it. So again, it's not something where you can just sit here and go, oh, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'll bid whatever to buy, you know, keyword porn. And if I get it, you know, no, you need to really understand what you're doing. But there are all sorts of other traffic sources out there. You just have to, you need to really educate yourself up front as to what type of traffic sources are going to work best for your type of affiliate model.
So I want to talk about landing pages a little bit. What are other types of landing pages, and is there ever a time where a specific landing page isn't appropriate for that transition between the affiliate and the sponsor's site?
There's definitely cases when it's the landing page would not be appropriate, but that's more likely because the traffic isn't appropriate for the landing page. You didn't buy the right keyword, or you didn't filter them down the funnel properly to send the right traffic in. Landing pages really are extremely critical. You know, whether you're in the adult space or even just in the mainstream world of doing affiliate marketing or Google pay-per-click, landing pages are really critical. And the landing page should match as close as possible the incoming source. So if you bought, again, maybe you bought a Google pay-per-click keyword of, you know, free pay per minute, and you want that landing page to be a page that says, we'll give you 10 free minutes of pay per minute. Give us an email address. It's a direct match. You don't want to send traffic that's looking for free pay per minute to a landing page that says, buy two DVDs and get the third one for 25% off. Completely mismatch. Doesn't work. You know, it's odds of converting are very, very slim. You don't want to put multiple offers on the same landing page. When you've gotten somebody to click through and make that action of, yes, I'm clicking that keyword and I'm going to a landing page, you want to give them one thing and one thing only to do. You know, you want to keep them moving. You don't want to bring them into that landing page and say, oh, well, maybe you didn't want free pay per minute. How about buying a full movie stream? How about toys? How about this? Now you're giving them multiple ways to exit out of that transaction. You need to make that landing page as tightly focused as possible. And this is, you know, and in my experience of doing pay-per-click advertising over the years, this is one of the things that Google and Yahoo actually watches a lot, is they will get back to you and say, listen, the landing page for that keyword doesn't match. It's not targeted enough. You need to make it more targeted. So it's really, I mean, that's your almost, that's the make or break point, is that landing page, that first page that brings them into the transaction channel. They're either going to continue on or they're dumping out, and that's by how good your landing pages are.
And what about the actual language on a landing page? How closely does that need to match? I mean, you had talked about don't send a VOD customer to a DVD landing page, but what about someone who is looking for pay per minute and you send them to a landing page that talks about video on demand? Is that still a no-no?
That becomes a little more fuzzy, because the terminology VOD is looked at as all-encompassing, when, you know, the truth of the matter is VOD has got many different formats of VOD. So if you're bringing that customer in using something that said pay per minute on the outside, then you want it to be pay per minute. But if it's just a VOD link, you don't know, are they looking for a full movie stream? Are they looking for a pay per minute package? Are they looking to download to own? Are they looking to download for their iPod and iPhone? So it, part of that problem, and that's a problem everybody has to address, the affiliates, the sponsors, everyone. You know, how is VOD being defined? You know, it's not just one word that reps everything. The reality is there's multiple formats. So, you need to do your best to try and match and understand the traffic that's coming in and what they're looking for. But, you know, if you can't do that, VOD is still better than having it be a DVD page. Let's put it that way. You know, you're at least in the same ballpark. If somebody was looking for VOD and you threw them onto a DVD page, you're in a completely wrong ballpark. I mean, I've encountered affiliates that literally have put a link up on their website that says DVD store, and when you click it, you're brought to a pay-per-minute theater. How do you expect that to convert? That customer clicked that link thinking they were going to go buy a DVD. The place they landed doesn't sell DVDs. You know, sometimes, I don't know, maybe to some of us it's like common sense, but, you know, you really have to think about what you're doing.
Well, I'd like to go back and talk about niche marketing a little bit, because I think a lot of people don't really understand what exactly a niche is or how it's defined. How is niche marketing not understood in today's market?
I think the biggest misunderstanding is people don't look at it in a detailed enough fashion. They think of niche marketing in too broad a term still. As in, oh, they're looking for gay or straight, one niche or the other. That's not really niche marketing. You know, niche marketing is getting it down and defined to as fine a format, as fine a style as possible. I sort of joke around with people in the office, and you know what we're trying to do is you've got all these people coming into your website, and the truth of the matter is they're coming into the website to get off. What is the one thing that's going to tickle their mind when they see an image or a word that's going to make them go, oh, that's it, I need it? Is that word porn? Probably not. Is that word blonde in high heels? More likely something like that is what's going to be the trigger to get some guy excited to take some sort of an action. Everybody out there has got that little magic tick that's going to make them spend the money. And you need to be able to help them find what that little magic tick is that's going to crack open the wallet, pull out the credit card, spend $29.95 to join a site or watch a VOD stream. And the only way you can do that is by continuing to filter them down. Like we discussed earlier, you start with straight, you're looking for straight movies, or you're looking for bisexual movies, or you're looking whatever you're looking for, and then narrow it down finer and finer and finer and finer to finally, you know, you're looking for blondes who are between 18 and 19 years old, wearing lingerie and high heels, whatever, as fine as you can get it, because we all know there's content out there to match that. And if you've got the content to match that fine definition and the user clicks on it, you have the absolute best chance of getting them to spend money.
Do you think geotargeting will mix up the banner ads, or are banner ads just
let me just preface this by saying we don't use geotargeting only because it really doesn't have a direct application into buying a DVD or watching a VOD stream. You know, whether you're coming from San Francisco or, you know, Chicago, it doesn't matter. It's not like you're going to buy, you know, a different DVD. But when it has stuff like dating sites, you know, I think it's tremendously impactful. I mean, it's just, it adds a level of personalization to that link that, you know, steps it up and above all of the other links you might find on that website. And again, there's probably a whole bunch of banner ads, but all of a sudden there's a link that says, hey, looking to meet girl in San Francisco, click here. And you're like, whoa, you know, I am in San Francisco. And wow, she's hot. Let me click that link. So I think there's tremendous value to geotargeting, definitely.
What other new areas of online marketing are ways for affiliates to send traffic over that, you know, maybe weren't even around a year or two ago?
That's the million-dollar question. If somebody has that answer, they're the ones out there striking it rich. I think the reality is you need to be, as an affiliate, you need to be looking at every possible avenue, every possible angle that's out there to see if it can generate traffic and revenue. A lot of it is going to fail, and that's no big deal. Most stuff is going to fail. But if you strike one that works and it converts, you're making money off of it. You've got to always be looking at what is the next angle. Is it, you know, a big thing that's been coming out now on free on membership sites is free lifetime memberships. You know, is that something that's going to work? Is, you know, we've gotten into iPod and iPhone downloads. We've actually now have Apple TV downloads where you're actually downloading a high definition video file that you can watch on Apple TV. Is that where it's going to go? We don't know. But you've got to watch. I mean, I think from a VOD standpoint, everybody should be watching what iTunes does, what Netflix does, what Amazon.com does with their VOD, because they're going to be setting the VOD
model.
Do
you enjoy listening to this podcast? If so, you can make it more popular by reviewing it at podcastingwhoswho.com, the Who's Who of podcasting.
Hopefully we're right there ready to just, you know, slide right in and say, well, we've been doing this right along for years and years and years, and our model fits in, priced the same way, accessible the same way, it works on the same devices you want to watch it on. You know, it's not all about always inventing the new frontier.
Okay, here's a $100 million question then. At GameLink, your gut feel, what are the niches that exist that you think are currently underserved?
As you said, it's a $100 million question. If you knew it, somebody would be out there buying all the domains up and building all the sites. But I think from a broad sense, I think something is going to flesh out with iPhone, iPod, that type of media. I'm not quite sure how and what it's going to be. You know, I've been an early adopter of all those mobile technologies, and I personally can't see myself sitting down and watching porn on a very small screen, let alone watching it on that very small screen in the center aisle seat of an airplane. Nobody knows what is the next gold mine.
Right.
There will be one. You can be assured of it. But it's the people who sit out there and take shots at all these different things, but do it in a planned and business-like manner, that are going to stumble upon it. You just don't know. You know, do we need yet another lesbian teen website? You know, if you're going to do it, how are you going to do it better and different than the millions of others that are out there? Why would somebody go to your website over the others that are out there?
Okay, so moving on to our last big question of the day, talking about affiliate managers and how they fit into an individual affiliate's success. How important is having a good affiliate manager on your side?
I think it's really important. You know, hopefully you've got an affiliate manager on your side who is going to be there to offer you some direction and some advice, understanding up front that they're not going to do it all for you. So don't sit back and expect you sign up and give them a domain and that they're going to just do all the work for you, but they're going to offer you suggestions and offer you legitimate advice on making money, because an affiliate manager looks at it this way. If the affiliate gets traffic and makes money, that means the affiliate manager is getting traffic into his store and he's making money in the sales. So it benefits everybody. And hopefully you're working with an affiliate manager who's sitting there and can recognize diamonds in the rough and go, I see an affiliate that just signed up and within the first week is already sending in X amount of traffic that's converting at X percentage and driving sales. I need to go see what this person is doing and see what I can offer them to help improve it. If they're doing X amount already with no effort, let's see what they can do with some guidance and some further effort. You know, don't be afraid to call up and ask affiliate managers for advice, for assistance. You know, I think affiliates should question when an affiliate manager is never there, that you never hear from. I will be the first to say that you cannot always personally reach out to everybody, but you need to be able to recognize the people. You need to make yourself available to the affiliate when the affiliate contacts you. And you need to be constantly watching your affiliate pool to see who is starting to bubble up. And as soon as they bubble up, you need to reach out to that affiliate and see what more you can do to help them. And as affiliates start bubbling up more and more and more and doing more and more, you're going to be able to offer them more custom services. You know, do you need me to make some banners for you? Do you need me to create a special feed for you? Do you need us to design an HTML landing page just for you to use? More and more of those services will be offered up as affiliate managers identify affiliates that are strong partners. Because, I mean, the reality is you are partners in this, the affiliate and the affiliate manager.
Okay. Well, I think that kind of wraps up our interview for today. Do you have any resources that you can share with the audience on where they can learn more or other resources that you think are helpful for the affiliate?
You know, there's a number. That's one thing about the adult space. There's a number of great webmaster boards out there. I mean, you can easily just Google adult webmaster message boards and you'll find many of them. You know, adultchamber.com is a great one. Why Not is another good one. As much as GFY.com can get out of hand, you can also get a lot of great information out of that site as well. You know, and some of the trade shows. You know, new people should probably really sit back and go, you know what, I need to go to one or two trade shows and go to the seminars. Seminars are really, they are geared towards new people. It's not, you know, experts talking to experts. It's experts up on the panel that you can talk to. And don't be afraid to spend 6 months to 12 months researching and preparing and understanding what you want to do and who you're going to partner with. You know, just keep in mind, it's not a get-rich-quick business anymore. You're not going to buy a domain and in 30 days have it up and running and making $10,000 a month. You can do that. It's just going to take time. And put that time in like you would anything else.
Great advice. Michael Branville from GameLink, thank you very much for being here with us today.
It was a pleasure.
Make sure you join us again next week for another great interview on the Sin2O Adult Webmaster Podcast.
Are you ready for the next generation of adult web hosting? Welcome to righthosting.com. Right hosting means the right way, service, innovation, and reliability. Bringing high-powered internet hosting to our customers, we specialize in streaming and content delivery, solutions for all your hosting needs with better bandwidth and the tools to use it. Dedicated servers, database delivery, site optimization, security and storage, management that understands the experience of being a hosting customer. Tech support when you need it, 24/7, 365 days a year, from dedicated professionals. Want it done the right way? Righthosting.com is your answer. Find us on the web at righthosting.com. Righthosting.com. You've been listening to the Sin2O Adult Webmaster Podcast, a production of North Star Productions, LLC. Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. For information on advertising or sponsorship opportunities, visit our website at sin2o.com.